for right now. And then I'll quickly go through the agenda. And Ravi, I'll pass over the screen share so that we can really jump into, I think, the excitement of the session for today. So quickly, just to go through a couple administrative items. So a couple of things that we've been working on as part of the SIG has been reviewing some of the current interests for projects and our work streams and projects. And so a couple of things that we've done have been creating a new member center. So for folks that are interested in joining us, you know, you're welcome to view our new member center. It's all available right on the left-hand side of our social impact wiki page. And right here we have our community liaison page. So here's the new member center information. We also have a social impact SIG resource center. So the main focus of this is just gathering different type of resources that folks find impactful across a variety of sectors and making sure that we all have access to that information. And then one other thing that we're currently also working on is developing a state of social impact ecosystem blog post. And we're hoping to have this be a recurring theme where we talk about some of the most interesting topics during those times. One of the first ones that we're going to be releasing is going to be on the pandemic and the different changes that we've had from a societal perspective, but also how blockchain for social impact projects can alleviate some of the inconsistencies that we've seen thus far. So moving back into this, the meeting agenda, I just wanted to quickly show those. A couple of things is, you know, we also have on here some of the blog post guidelines. So if you guys are interested in any way of, you know, writing a blog post on your particular use case as well, that's definitely, open because we have quite a couple slots that we can add new blog posts as they come. And then a couple of things I think we had in discussions for our previous session was discussing some of the volunteering tracking use cases and seeing if we can pull some folks in that have worked on those previously. So anything that I'm missing, anything that folks on the call want to add to this discussion board before we move on to the community presentation from Crip?
Hi, Nancy, it's Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
I was in communication with Amelia Gardner, who runs the Utah clerk's office and is doing something with voting. And she has agreed to come talk to us after the elections because she's super busy before. So I just wanted to throw that out there for the group and to get some dates for me to bring back to her that could, you know, fit in our schedule with her. So I thought if I gave her two or three future dates, can you meet us on this call or this call? And maybe we could pin her down. So if you come up with those dates, just shoot me an email.
Sounds great. I'll follow up after this meeting with some dates. Thank you, Bobby. Awesome. So then anything else that anyone else wants to bring up so that we have those? And I'll add that I need to follow up with Bobby on this, on the dates. If not, then I'm going to pass over the share screen over to Ravi, who's going to be joining us today to talk about quite a few of the projects that you guys have been developing in the social impact space. I know the one that I was really, I was talking to Akash about was on the Fair Chain, but it seems like there's quite a few, so we're really looking forward to that. So Ravi, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and then let me pass this over so that you have it.
Sure, Nancy, can you give the screen share to Akshaya because she's going to help me there.
Oh, sounds good.
I'm going to do the voiceover.
Thanks, Nancy.
So let me know. So I just gave you co-host. You should be able to share screen.
Yep.
Thank you.
Here it is. Cool. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about various projects we did in social impact domain. And thanks for the team members here, the special interest group team members here. My name is Ravi. I am heading Cripsy. Cripsy is a blockchain technology company. We formed Cripsy in 2015, and this is our sixth year in operation. And so far, we have done a handful of projects. Some of them are in production as well. And we are predominantly Hyperledger focused team. And we have our flagship product called Cryptcore. Cryptcore is a readily deployed environment like an ERP. So all you need to do is just define what you want and configure that, then you will have a solution. And it is not only at that part, you will be able to, you know, scale it, manage it without any piece of code. It's kind of a very low code environment. So it helps organizations or social entrepreneurs to quickly build and deploy a solution and then scale it as more organizations and more participants and more transaction comes in and happens. So it is a cloud agnostic. So we don't want to limit the platform to any single cloud. And it's also a domain agnostic. That's what Cryptcore is about. And we are a team of 30 people, mostly in Bangalore. We have Water Research and Development Center. And we have operations in the US. Akshaya is heading our US operations. And we have operations in the Netherlands as well. So we are growing slowly as Hyperledger and blockchain, you know, maturity is kind of getting in there. So that's about Cripsy. Now, Akshaya, can you just flip? Yeah. As I was mentioning, next few slides are going to be about Cryptcore. I'm not going to take much time because objective is not about Cryptcore, but still we use Cryptcore efficiently and effectively to build all these programs. Because especially when it comes to question of social impact programs, we have to be, you know, cost conscious, and we have to be very, very, you know, conscious about not loading too much of technical, you know, efforts on the ultimate platform owners, because they may not have that kind of a technology budgets or technology team to run or to build technology solutions. So that's why, you know, Cryptcore is a very ideal scenario, you know, for this kind of platforms. And next slide, Akshaya. Yeah, it has got, you know, typically, you know, four different pillars. It has got its own studio. So less than a couple of days, you'll have your solution ready for pilot. And then it has got its own workbench that is more, you know, when you want to deploy it across multiple organizations, multiple node, you can use workbench and its own data lake to make sure that you have got all the, you know, the best of the best reports you can derive, though the data lake gives you that benefit. And it's a blockchain as a service layer for ongoing at a cloud level. You can bring in all the artifacts from respective clouds, and there is no challenge in terms of, you know, while you are in production, adding new peers or adding new nodes. You know, it's just using our GUI tool, one can manage. And of course, as I was mentioning, these are all key benefits and differentiator. And the economic viability is one important point when it comes to question of social impact programs. Yeah, now I'll, you know, next 15 minutes, I'll talk about these seven projects in the last 4 years. You know, we have been continuously working with multiple, you know, clients and customers of ours across the, you know, globe, and in you know, to achieve this seven projects. It's not only these seven projects, we have done about 50 plus projects overall, but the social impact projects are about seven. So I'll start with the provenance program that led to a very interesting value distribution chain right from the coffee cherry growers in Africa and all the way to, you know, multiple processing points like wet mill and the packaging companies and exporters, importers, and all the way to consumers in the Netherlands. So that means the price that the consumer is paying, and finally, what is the price that, you know, the farmer is getting. Of course, it's not going to be the same price. There has to be a value distribution. So that value distribution is, you know, clearly you know, available in this provenance program. And this is funded by UNDP, and again, Fairchain Foundation is responsible, and they built, they wanted to run this program because they believe that, you know, connecting farmers to the consumers to make sure that the farmers are, you know, not losing out in any of these international programs. So UNDP also wanted to, you know, bring in such a, you know, inclusive program for in favor of farmers. So this we, you know, started in 2017. And in 2019, it went live. From 2017 to 2019, there were multiple pilot programs. Now, as we speak, it is in live. And that is that's the first project we did. And the second project is again for the same, Fairchain Foundation, where we deployed a loyalty program where the consumers in Europe who were buying chocolates, they were able to get loyalty points, and they have an option to liquidate that loyalty points by donating a tree to the farmer. If I am buying a chocolate bar, I can scan the QR code. It will give me the complete trace and track of that particular batch of chocolate, where it, who the farmer is, what the farmer's family, how it is, and the entire program until the chocolate reaches my hand. And I'm also, either I can keep the loyalty points for my future, buying chocolate, I can get some discount, or, for 10 points, I can get one chocolate, something like that. And also I'll be able to donate a tree to the farmer. So I can donate my points. You know, this is the gratitude, this is the recognition of the farmer. That's again a program. This is again a UNDP supported project that we did. And third one is again connecting to the loyalty. This is an institution called GIZ in Germany. They are kind of, philanthropic and also very large institution, which is it's a government institution which is supporting the farmers and multiple, economically weaker section across the globe. So they supported this project. Here, the farmers, normally it's not only the tree, right? Because they may have to do a lot of, they may have to buy farming equipment, they may have to buy fertilizers, water, and multiple things. So during the farming season, they may not have money. So they have to take loan. And then when the farming is done during, the end of the farming, the season, then probably, they will get money from the brands who are buying the producers, and then they can pay back this, the loan. But at the same time, the interest component is extremely high. And also, most of the farmers will not have a formal banking system to get this loan in Africa. Of course, it's also equally, true for any other growing economy or developing economy. So here, the consumer, I have, for example, if I have, as a consumer, if I have some loyalty in my wallet, I have the option to lend to the farmer. So the farmer can take this loan, and very, very nominal interest or no interest as well. And then when my producers are maturing and when I'm selling, it is getting deducted. And this foundation takes that responsibility of the entire process, and the tokens or the money that I lend, the points I lend is coming back to my wallet as a consumer. This is an interesting program that just we rolled out. It's, the pilot is going on, probably the production by the first quarter 2021, we are seeing that getting into the production. And the fourth one is very interesting project, all these farmer related projects, everybody would have understood at least the pain point. But here the different kind of challenges that the migrant workers, they all have, because assuming there are so many corridors across the globe, from, for example, it's Middle East, Saudi, Dubai, and these kind of regions, and there is Singapore, Malaysia, these kind of regions where they attract migrant labor from various locations. It could be India, it could be Nepal, it could be Philippines, it could be Indonesia. People go there and then work to support their families. Now, assuming there is a person from Nepal, 20-year-old boy going to Dubai, and then he's working in the construction. And now what happens, the money that he earns that may not be sufficient enough to take care of his family for certain occasions. There could be wedding, there could be buying a house, constructing a house, multiple things. like you and I, we will have a formal banking system helping us. We can go to a bank and then say, hey, I need a loan. I need a, you know, I'm buying a house, mortgage, whatever it is. But here, the migrant employee is working in a different country. And his family back, for example, this project, first program we did between the Dubai corridor and Nepal, as a, you know, the people going from Nepal, migrants going from Nepal to Dubai. That is the first project we did. Now, this guy who came to Dubai, he is capable of repaying, but unfortunately, the banking system doesn't recognize in Nepal for his family to give any loan because there is no guarantee available. Now, this means there is a missing trust element between two different regulated entities. One is a remittance company or a bank in Dubai, and on the other side, there is a bank in Nepal. Now, then we realize that a blockchain can bring a solution for this because it's a trustless environment, as we know. Now, we built a connect between the remittance company and the bank in Nepal. Now, the UNCDF, they funded this project for one of our customers, actually. The customer is running a platform. So now a beneficiary can put, whenever he's remitting money, he can say, hey, I'm remitting. And the remittance company says, yes, I know, I've done a KYC on him. And this is the money and this is his paycheck. And probably he will be remitting money through my channel for the next 24 months because the passport, visa, multiple things they get. Now the bank in Nepal, they can go ahead and they say, hey, this the migrant and his relative who's an ultimate beneficiary, I'm going to lend him maybe about, $300 or $3,000, whatever it is, over 2 years, the money will be adjusted against this remittance. So this, the whole thing in a smart contract, it works fantastic. Now the formal banking system that is connected to a beneficiary in Nepal who was completely, earlier they used to, borrow money for, four times the bank interest. They used to pay 36%, 42%. So that is it's insane and it's unfair. So that's what this Finance Against Remittance Program is doing. And the first corridor is done. They are building more, connecting more corridors now. So they completed the pilot. So during production, they will be connecting multiple countries in Middle East, and as well as they are going to Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, these kind of locations. So it will scale up. And ultimately, the financial inclusion for this economically weaker section is very essential. So when we talk about the social impact. The next one is a very interesting scenario, because as we keep meeting people, talking to them about these social impact challenges, one of the foundations, focusing on agricultural and farmers is Syngenta Foundation. So it's a European base, but they are global. So in India, they felt that they are scaling. They were kind of going from multiple hundred thousands of farmers to, millions of farmers. That's what they are scaling. But unfortunately, they feel that there is a need for some control system, because ultimately, for a dollar that I want to contribute to a farmer, am I really that dollar going to the farmer or not? That is the challenge, because there could be seepages. There could be kind of somebody's not really showing a farmer. He's saying that he is a farmer, but there is no system to prove that really there is a farmer, because because the feet on street people, NGOs, they come with some kind of a paper based data, and that's how it goes. So they do not want to, they want to make sure that there's a control system. And also, once they have a control system, they'll be able to track the benefits that are going to the farmers, because this is the base. Now your farmer is a base. After that, I'm going to spend, thousands and thousands of dollars year after year to improvise their ability to earn more. That's what their objective is. So here, the base, we wanted to fix it correct. So that's why we call it as a Know Your Farmer. We created a video-based mechanism to capture the farmer information along with their identity and then put it in the blockchain. Now, the Syngenta Foundation and their probably the downstream members, NGO members or upstream funding agency, everybody could have a clear vision or the visibility about what kind of a farmer ecosystem is available. That is the very base. Now, pilot is over. It's about 2,000 farmers. They did a pilot. Now they are kicking off production. They want to see a million coming in a few quarters. So now there is every dollar that is spent, every cent that is spent, they are assured of there is a farmer. And then with this base information, they will be able to track the benefits that are available to the farmer and multiple things. This again, probably the through blockchain and introducing certain video capturing mechanism, we were able to achieve that. And that's also a very interesting project we did. And the other one is, Sean was mentioning about the waste tracking. We did a couple of waste tracking POCs, one in Dubai and one in India. And the India one matured to the next level. Here in this project, it's of course all of us, we know the circular plastic and the landfill. These are all the problems that everybody wanted to solve. And it is also United Nations SDG, one of the SDGs about such programs. There is a brand in Swiss, the Switcher. This brand, they have a facility in India as well to source the garments and make sure that the garments are as per the quality and all the stuff. So for them, they decided to completely track the wet bottle, the wet waste, sorry, the PET waste, because the PET waste is used to recycle and then get a polyester yarn, and which is converted into a cloth and then converted into a garment. And that is something they want to make sure that the whole world or the consumers, they know that really there is the rag picker who picks up the PET waste, and what they are wearing or what the garment they are buying, it is really made out of that PET waste. So that entire trace and track that was put in this, using Hyperledger, we on top of Hyperledger, we built that the entire trace and track, where the incidental thing is, it became an opportunity for the rag pickers to get recognized as a formal, employees or formal professionals. Otherwise, they are not formal, so they will come and then pick the wet waste one day, and then after 5 days, they will come back. In between, they will not do because they are not recognized. So they will go to some other work and all those stuff. Here, it gives an opportunity for them to get recognized, and the garment consumer, now he can give some gratuity back to that rag picker. And that could be the social purpose NGO organization coming in, because they are concerned about the environment, they are concerned about the landfill. They can just chip in about a few cents in favor of the rag pickers. So there are multiple incidental programs can come on top of it. The least is this entire PET waste collection and then getting into garment, it is getting appreciated, and the landfill can be reduced and the rag pickers can be recognized. This is the benefit of the program, which is going well. In fact, we have done well just before COVID. They did completed the pilot, but just because of the COVID, the entire supply chain in the fashion industry is under challenge. So they are waiting for the, something to happen, in a quarter to two. So that is about the PET waste. The last but not least is the micro lending platform. This is, you may know, again, there are certain group of individuals across the globe in different locations like India, Africa, wherever the poverty is still a challenge. These locations, again, the certain kind, levels of people, they don't have access to the formal banking system again. So what they do is, for example, they will buy vegetables in the morning, and then in the evening, they go back, and then somebody would have lend them money, and then they will repay their loan and then take the margin and then go back and then make their living for the next day. That's what they do. But here, what happens, they may be taking about $10 in the morning, and when they go back, they will repay them almost like $9. So that means $1 a day, which is 10% a day, It's huge interest. It's 3,600%, if you know, simple math, right? So that is something not acceptable. So there are, you know, women who does this kind of work, and for them, making sure that they are accessible to the formal banking system will help them in multiple ways. So there is another company called New Street Technology. They set up this platform called MyFix, which connects this, you know, the woman, you know, self-employed woman in various deep rural locations to, you know, semi-urban locations. And it is all connected to through the you know, feet on street agents or partners who source them. And also these women, there is a JLG, it's a joint liability group they create. And now this is visible to a bank, and using certain APIs through various digital technologies available in India for credit rating or identity and all those stuff. Now that person can be, you know, for example, if a representative or a you know, partner is going on street, if he or she is identifying one potential borrower, in less than an hour, there is a loan sanction and the money is put into their bank account. It used to take about 2 weeks earlier. And here, because of this platform, which is very, very powerful connector of, you know, through oracleization, they collected all this information and then immediately it's sent to the bank's core banking system, account is opened, decision is taken, and it goes up to the collection. They also make sure that these people, you know, they are the borrowers are paying in time. So everything is captured in this platform. So the main objective is to reduce the time and reduce the cost and reduce the risk, because if you don't have a formal banking system, then it means that you are dealing with cash. That's very highly risk, right? So that's all. These are all the multiple things that they could demonstrate. And again, that's also one of the you know, growing platforms, I would say. So that's all I have for the day. It's about seven projects so far. And we are looking forward to add more projects to the Hyperledger network. And just other projects, we have got about, we have done, as I was mentioning, we did about 50 plus projects, and about eight of them are in production. So across domain, these are all different projects we did. I don't want to go deeper into it. Now, over, you know, 6 years, we are blessed with working with multiple accelerators, right from Microsoft, Bosch, to, you know, SAP, Accenture, Maersk, all these accelerators were helping us. And then, yeah, we have worked with some very, you know, marquee names like Maersk, Honeycomb, Citi, Honeywell, all these large organizations. And yeah, that's about Cripsy. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Ravi, so much for the presentation. And so I see in the audience that Mark has raised his hand. So I wanted to open it up and make sure that folks got a chance to ask questions. So Mark, if you will.
Yes, hi, and thank you for this presentation. I was just wanted to follow up on the, because a lot of the social benefit came up to the consumer protection aspects, moving away from very usurious interest rates. So I just wanted to just have clarity as to what were the consumer protection aspects that are embedded in that, to ensuring that they would get as close to a policy rate as possible to increase the social benefit. Also, I was wanted to, there's three parts to this question. Asking also about the how you're going to be assessing your own social impact, what metrics will be you using? Will you be asking the beneficiaries? Will you be measuring their financial well-being? I mean, what the baseline on which you'll start, and the metrics building on? And then also, how would dispute resolution in your system be handled when there is sort of a credit, a term dispute? Thank you, Over.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. It's a very Good question. In fact, first I will go with a disclaimer, because we are providing this technology for our clients, customers who are running this platform. So typically they're in the operation and they get into all these legal aspects of it. But we work closely with all these customers, so we understand how they manage it. Number one, your question about the consumer protection, because as I was mentioning, it is getting into the formal lending system. So the micro lending I was referring to for the self-employed women, there it is going to a regulated bank as a lender. So regulated bank as a lender cannot go against the regulated rates or policies. So very clearly, that's not possible. They cannot do it. And that said, even in the system, there is we connect with, for example, in India, the federal bank is called Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank has got the cap. This is the rate of interest for, the micro lending. So we make sure that rate is, taken into consideration. The banks cannot charge more than that rate. So that's how, in terms of interest rate, that is how the protection is. In terms of data by itself, because that's a very important point, because right to be forgotten or your data privacy, all those stuff, because their data is very, very vulnerable at some point in time. So we make sure that the data is not fully in the ledger. It's only the representation of the data, which is some format. We keep that in the ledger. Outside, all other informations are off chain. You know, it's not visible to everybody. That's how we have created. This is with respect to the consumer privacy and also the protection. And the next dispute resolution side of it, it is end of the day, the bank is taking a call, and bank is finally responsible, because the financial risk belongs to the bank. And of course, in India, at least it's 99% is the success rate of the micro lending institutions business, because it's not that high in terms of non-payment and other stuff. But still, even that 1%, or if it is going up as well, it is bank's responsibility. So they take care of it. They what a proper because the any branch close to that the borrower, they have to get connected with that branch, and the branch will interact with them in terms of collection and anything. So that's how that part, the liability and also the risk part of it. And what was the other question, Mark? You have three questions.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it was on the aspects also on just dispute resolution, and also just thinking around predictive analytics to... have a positive outcome for those farmers, and thinking about how you can buddy that with ways to assist them to optimize their results, and obviously then the return on the loan. Thank you.
Right. Actually, there are two levels. One is, they consider that as a program objective by itself. When they come out with a program, they define what are all the KPIs, what are all the goals that they want to achieve. And with that, the beneficiary track, benefit tracking, that's done alongside. And there is a phased, benefit programs. For example, they don't give away, for example, if it is a tribal farmer, and if the tribal farmers, they want to say that right now they are getting about probably $1,000 a year as their income. They want to uplift that $1,000 to say, for example, $4,000 in 3 years' time. And if they believe that, if they want to do it, and if they want to invest about, say, $500 per farmer for buying some, devices or whatever it is, that they don't want to give away one, upfront. They want to, benchmark. They want to say, okay, hey, I will give you $100 now and do it, and then I'll give you $600. So they wanted to bring in some new method of making sure that the benefit distribution is also linked with certain performance. So that's how they wanted to improve it, because the traditional way of completing that project and after that seeing whether there is an impact or not probably is not a right thing to do. Because of blockchain, even if you are talking about millions of farmers, you'll be able to manage that efficiently because you are going to put some kind of financial models and some controls in within the smart contract. So that's how it is going to work. So that's what that's how they are managing in one set of the format. When it comes to question of the tree in the coffee and the cocoa tree, the cherry tree planting, there they are very clearly, actually the process itself is giving the impact, how the impact is, because number of trees that people are able to donate and how the, because he has to, when he gives back the producers, then there is a ratio, right? Okay, last year you gave about say X pounds or X kilograms of produce, and this year there are about 15 trees you got, and then probably it is going to take 3 years for you to those trees to give you that benefits. After 3 years, how much of the produce you are giving? So that kind of a tracking, because the data lake what we have, it has got all the data analytics that you will be able to do, whether there is a whatever inputs that is coming in your way and what is output, whatever output you are giving. So everything is connected. So that is how this the African farmer benefit and the impact they wanted to assess. On the landfill side, it's very early and not able to give you any, probably it will take some time for them to see what is the volume, how it is going, and then they'll be able to come out with some kind of an impact assessment program. Hope I could address your question, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ravi. Any other questions from the audience?
I don't have any questions. I was just going to mention the PET, the PET project. I think that's interesting. So I'll definitely follow up and get some more information on it. Dig a little deeper, but overall, I really, really appreciate the information.
Yep. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate that.
Hi, Robbie. It's Bobby. I have to say that was a great presentation, very, very understandable. And I like how you're targeting what I hear is a pain point all through the community. And that's easy to build, develop, and use without having to code. I kind of straddle both worlds. And it's funny because people in the coding community think that everything they do is really understandable. And people in the business community look at them like they're talking a different language. And I like how you've recognized that in your solution. So it's very comprehensive. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Yep. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate that. Look forward for support from all of you. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Ravi, for taking the time to speak with us. I think it was a really insightful presentation, and obviously for the community's involvement. I'd love to have you on for future calls as well, and would love to kind of follow the progress that you guys are making.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. So without further any other conversation, so I think we'll end the call a little bit early today, but thanks again for presenting to us, and really looking forward to it. All the great things that are coming out.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Akshay. Thanks, team. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Akshay.
Thanks, Nance.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good one. Thank you.